Genesis 35, we had read in verse 1 when the Lord said to him, "Arise and go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar to God who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau your brother." We got as far as arise and go up. I think there's a call of the Spirit for us to go up higher. America has settled into the Laodicean age where we're just lukewarm toward the Lord, and the Lord wants us to be passionate. Passionate in our love, our fervor to serve Him. Passionate for a life led and guided by the Holy Spirit, which will bring into our hearts and lives and family untold realms of purity and holiness and moral character and value, because we allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. If there is anything to judge of people in whom you do not see God's ways, is simply that they just haven't learned to yield to the Holy Spirit and let Him use their body. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and He has every right to use it. Our spirit dwells in it too, and it likes to use this body. It feels like it belongs to it. And in a sense, it does. God housed our spirit with our body. Our spirit seems to feel like it's in total control. However, when we are born again, we become a new creature. We become a creature that has a body, that has a spirit that is our own, and the Holy Spirit that is within our spirit. So we become a double-spirited creature. You've heard me say that to be an excellent Christian, you have to be schizophrenic. You have to be dual. You have to have some of these things that psychologists would see as very negative. However, you know, people who have problems like this, basically they just have demons running their life, and they run their life. And so for a few moments they are themselves, and for a few moments they're just demon on wheels. And so you never know what you're going to get. And they have fancy names for all of this, but it's not where we're going tonight. It's just that we need to recognize that in the same way that the enemy takes over human bodies and uses them, so also the Holy Spirit. The whole deal is to learn to yield to the Holy Spirit. I mean, men and women that have done great things for God in the world have been people totally possessed by the Holy Spirit. And they've allowed the Holy Spirit to take their body and use it. Catherine Kuhlman used to refer to herself as the glove. And she said the Holy Spirit was the hand that moved the glove. That if you take the hand out of the glove, it's useless, powerless. It can do nothing. But with the hand of a surgeon inside, it can operate on a brain. And so the Holy Spirit was everything to her, and it is to all of us, really. The more we learn to yield to the Holy Spirit, the more His life comes through us, and the more the life of God comes through us, and the more the life of holiness and the life of love and the life of compassion are seen through us. The secret is allowing the Holy Spirit to move on us. The Holy Spirit is forever trying to get us to live in higher realms, a higher plane. And the place where Bethel was, where God was trying to bring Jacob, was the high place. It was a higher place. And the Lord wanted to bring him back. He wanted to bring him back because He wanted him to understand that basically, given all things, he was living too low. He was living below his privileges, spiritual privileges. And so God was calling him up higher. And so the Lord said to him, "Come up." This is very important to us, because just like it was in the life of Jacob, it is in our life today that God should call us to go up. And He's calling us to go up to a house. And this house isn't necessarily a church or a natural building on earth. In fact, it has nothing to do with a building. The house is the place of encounters. If you stop and think of it, when Jacob gave the name to Bethel when he first met God on his first encounter, we covered this, and a ladder was opened to him in his dreams between him and heaven. And he said, "For certain, I didn't know that God was in this place." And he named the place Bethel because he said, "This is the house of God. Indeed, this is a place where God dwells. I just bumped into Him. He dwells in the wilderness on a rock. And I just happened to bump into it." So he called the place the house of the Lord. But now notice there were no walls there. There were no house, no steeple, no churches. And yet he called it the house of God. Many times we as Christians feel that when we talk about the house of God, we're talking about church buildings. We're talking about places where we gather together and unto the Lord. But that's not so. The house of the Lord has nothing to do with four walls of any kind of a building, of any kind or sort. In fact, he was just out in the open with no building whatsoever. His head was on a rock for a pillow. And suddenly the heavens opened. And what we need to understand is that Bethel really means open heavens. It doesn't mean a house built by God or man. It just simply means it's a place where God manifests himself openly. And so when Jacob called the place Bethel, God said to him later when he was at Laban's, I want you to go back to Bethel, the place where I met with you, the place where heavens were open to you, where you made vows to me, and where we spoke to one another as a person does close to one another. He saw God on top of the ladder, angels ascending and descending upon him. And it was so real that when he woke up, it was still real. God was still there. That is why even after he woke up, he made vows with God, because God was still there. He was still speaking to him, he was still listening to him, and he was still answering him. That's why he said later that God, if you look at it real close here in verse 3, says, then let us arise. When he responded to the call of God, he says, who has been with me, the God who answered me in the day of my distress. So that's when he left his father's house. He was in distress of his brother trying to kill him. And he was going, and that's where he met with God at Bethel. And he said, the God that answered me. Now listen, when you have a dream and you see angels ascending and descending, and God sitting above it, that's not a God answering you. That's not you talking to God and God talking back to you. That happened when he was awake. That happened when he woke up in the morning and realized, this is the house of God. This is a place where God's dwelling. God's alive here. He's real. And so it says that he poured oil upon a rock, called the name Bethel, cried out to the Lord in his distress, and the Lord answered him. And he made a vow to God. God answered that vow, and God kept the promise over that vow, that if he would bring him back in safety so that his life would be preserved when he met his brother again, that he would know he was his God. And that if God would provide for him materially while he was gone. Now here's a young man, never been away from home, never had a job, didn't know anything about anything, and wondered how he was going to provide for his life from then on. You know, when you just up and leave home and go somewhere and don't know where you're going, except that someone tells you to go back to somebody's home in some other land, and you're going through all these lands with all these people around that you don't know, it's a tough stuff. I mean, that is a problem in the natural. So Jacob was having a real problem. But it didn't have anything to do with a house. It didn't have anything to do with church. It didn't have anything to do with steeples. It didn't have anything to do with glass pane windows. It had to do with a God that was real, that heard and talked. It had to do with a God whose presence was so real. It had to do with angels that were real and were moving. They weren't just statues up on walls. People say, I saw an angel. Well, he was immobile. He was just up there sort of hanging in the sky. These angels were moving. They were alive. They were real angels. God is forever calling us up higher, because we have a way of living in a world, and we translate this whole world of reality and the Spirit of God down to a world of religiousness where we can handle it, where we can tolerate it, where we can control it. And God wants to bring us up into a realm where we can't control. Some people are deathly afraid of meetings where you can't control the Holy Spirit. I enjoy it when I can't control the Holy Spirit. I enjoy it when the Holy Spirit's out of control, because that's when you're going to have the best meeting you ever had with God. God needs us to be out of control for him to be in control. And so the Lord's ever calling us up higher, because when we're down lower, we're in control. God's calling us into a world where he is control. He has control. He's calling us into a world where we can come into a plane that we're not used to being in, a plane that's more real than our world. Everyone who's ever died, literally clinically died, and gone to heaven and come back, besides not wanting to come back and arguing with the Lord about having to come back, will tell you this, that everything up there is more real than it is here. The grass is actually more real, more alive, has more substance than grass on earth. Flowers, the sun, the light that's up there is more real. People are more real than they are down here. They're totally transparent in the sense of openness. We all hide behind our little masks and things, and we let people see what we want them to see. We even play mind games with people. When you're going to go into a long-term relationship, it takes you at least a year to go beyond that nice visitor mask that everybody puts on, and you get to know the real individual. Most time it happens after you've married them, or after you're their friend for life and made some commitments or whatever. Whoa, we wake up to reality here. Heaven is real. God says, come up, because he wants us to come up to a world that's really real, because we think that this one down here is real. We wonder, you know what? Up there, everything floats. Everything's transparent. It's really not, there's really no substance. It's not real. You know, it's like a pseudo world. It's a world of spirits that float. No, honey, that's the real world. This is the world where we don't have wings, we don't fly. We have to get in a machine that transports us around through the air, but we can't fly. Up there, you can just fly. Or you can just decide that you'd like to do 1,000 miles in a minute, and you just do it because, you know, here you are. There you are. When you're transported by the Spirit, you don't feel the breeze in your ears as you're going 1,000 miles an hour, but suddenly you're in Africa preaching. That's happened to me. What's scary is when people from Africa tell you that you've been there preaching and you never left home. I want you to know that the world of the Spirit is more real than the natural world, more real than the world that we actually live in. And it's so free, it's so liberating, it's so wonderful. And God is forever saying, come up, come up, come up, because we live in a world that's down here, like turkeys on the ground. They look just like eagles, but eagles live up in the air. We've been born into eagle kingdom, in Eagleton world. We have been born into a world where we can fly, where we can soar, where we can go up. I often tell people the world of the Spirit isn't very far away from us. When they asked Jesus, you know, about the Father, he said, he's right here. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. When they wanted to know how far the spirit world was, how many galaxies away heaven was, he said, heaven is right here. Heaven is within you. Heaven is right here. The kingdom of God is not a something of substance way on beyond the sky, way beyond the stars, way beyond the galaxy of stars. Heaven is right here. It's right real. You can walk right into it. There was a man, I won't give his name, but he had an angel. But Brother Dorn was allowed many times to walk into the room where this man was, where there was always an angel. And when he ministered, people would see his angel. It was a very real angel. In fact, Brother Dorn said that he could share these things now because the man was dead. He made him swear to a promise that he would never tell anyone what he had seen while he was alive. But now it was fine. He could tell these things. He walked into the room where the angel was. He said the light was so brilliant that he couldn't look upon it. It was as like it blinded him. Whereas this man walked in like he was so used to it. And he was saying that the spirit world is so close, the curtain is so thin that you can just come in and out of it. Out of the world that's up into the world that's down, and from the world that's down into the world that's up. He said the curtain is so thin. And he said what happens is that the barrier is very thick for all of us. But as you learn to walk with God, obey God, walk in his ways, live for him, become a little bit real and let him bring you into a world of reality where we don't just say, Jesus, I'll serve and love you, when really we don't love him and we're not serving him. We just talk lies to the Lord. We sing lies to the Lord. He's a spirit of truth. He doesn't like lies. He doesn't like us telling him things that aren't true. That's why sometimes we have to be careful what we sing and what we say. Because he's such a spirit of truth that his spirit gets offended with hurt and bothered with things that are lies. There's no lie in him at all. He can't accept what's not true. And so he loves truth. He dwells where there's truth. He manifests himself where there's truth. Where there's love, his spirit can flow. Where there's dissension and division and separation and racism and all kinds of these other things and horrible spirit, he cannot move there. He's got to leave. His substance can't become one of it. It has to be separated and he has to be gone out of there until we get over our things, until we can come and allow the Holy Spirit to bring us into a place where we're one with all his children, black and yellow, blue, white, whatever. We're all one with the Holy Spirit. We're one with His children. We're one with the spirit world. We're one with this world. We are totally separated. Each day that goes by, the barrier, the curtain between us and the demonic world becomes thicker and thicker. And the barrier, the curtain between us and the heavenly world of God becomes thinner and thinner until some days you can just walk in and walk out of it. There are some days that you're just driving down the road in one instant with one thought and you're in heavenly world with Christ Jesus. And then another thought and you're down here groveling in the world of flesh or the devil, who knows. And that's how close we are. And the call of God to Jacob which was the father, really, of all of the children of God. What the father really was Abraham, but in Jacob, in Isaac, his son, they were all called. And out of Jacob came the 12 tribes of Israel, but really, all the believers in the world came out from Abraham. And so this call of God is to all his children to come up higher. That means that when we dwell with our mind idle, dwell on the things of the Spirit. Such things are of good report. Dwell. Let your mind dwell on these things. Whatsoever things are true, dwell on these things. Whatsoever things are honest, dwell on these things. You can dwell on things that disturb your spirit. Dwell on things that make you angry and that turn your spirit to motivate your body to do things it shouldn't and even sin. And yet that fast you can turn around and be in the world of the Spirit of God, of truth and life and hope and of good report and everything else. You can be standing by somebody who's in this world with a spirit of criticism on them, criticizing somebody, and you can be in the world of the Spirit thinking the thoughts, because he said that all things that are of good report, think on these. And so you're thinking of the good report, that this person that they're slandering really is a wonderful person, a wonderful Christian, a person that loves the Lord and is trying hard to work after the Lord. So this is what you're thinking while they're spewing out all the other stuff. You see, they're in this world, rather than going up, they're going down. The call of God to his children is come up. Bethel is up. This world is down. And the demonic world is downer, further down. God says, come up, come up, come up into my world. Continuously keep coming up. You're just a decision away from the world of the Spirit. God said, come up to Bethel. What is Bethel? It's not a geographical place. It was for Jacob, but it isn't for us. It is not a building. It is not a particular church. If not, we'd all be in the one church. Because if there's just one church, what are we doing here? Let's go. Bethel is where God's alive. Bethel is where you can hear God talk. Bethel is where God manifests himself. Bethel is where you can see angels ministering. Bethel is where the anointing flows. And there's no doubt in your mind, God's doing something in you when you come in. That's Bethel. And let me tell you that every church in the world can be Bethel, and every church in the world can be hell. This one can, depending where we choose to dwell. We don't have to. We can obey the call that God put over Jacob. Come up higher. Come away from all of this and Shechem. Now, we've talked for 4 or 5 weeks now on Shechem, so we're going to leave Shechem alone. But God said, come away from that land of compromise. Come away from that land of sin. Come away from that land where you settle down for the things of this world, with your homes and lands and things, prosperity and materialism. Come away. It's time to go. I didn't call you to Shechem. I called you to Bethel, and you're settling here. I want you to come out. Keep coming. Keep coming up higher. So for the second time, the Lord speaks to Jacob, and he says, I want you to rise and come up to Bethel. Now on Sunday, we left on come. Now we're on the up and on Bethel, so we're making headway. The Lord wants us to know that up is just as close as a thought away from us. God wants us to know that either we're going after God, we're pursuing after God, or we're moving away from God. Over and over and over again in the Scriptures, God said, if you will return unto me. What do you think returning is? Taking a bus ride for 2,000 miles and going to some place, some Mecca, or some place where God is known to be, or to some conference somewhere and take a plane there and go where God is? That's not returning to God. Returning to God is as close as inside of you. It's an attitude to quit living for yourself and quit living for the enemy and live for God and turn your direction toward God. And he says, I want you to go up to Bethel. And the Lord again and again says, if you will return to me, I will return to you. Now that's Bethel. Because when God comes to us and we come to God and we have an encounter with God, that's Bethel. That's open heaven. That's God returning to us. That's God being real with us. That's God speaking to us. That's God listening to us. That's God answering our prayer. That's God getting into the middle of our life and either messing with some stuff in it or delivering some other stuff out of it. Or it's God healing some things that need healing. Or it's God turning around things that need to be turned around. But God says, turn. come, if you'll return to me. That is an action of the mind of coming up higher. That is a choice that I make in my mind to return to the Lord. You know, you can take your whole time while you're driving somewhere to be with the Lord. I have found that many times angels have driven for me. Because I've been so lost in God that when I come back a few minutes later, I've got all these tears coming down my face. Sometimes my wife has been by. As long as I don't hear her scream, I know I'm driving okay. The problem is, I wasn't there for the last 5-10 minutes. I was gone. I don't even know being in the car. I don't remember anything. All I know is that I was with God. And I met with the Lord. And He spoke to me. And when I came back, I had these huge tears rolling down my face and this presence of Jesus around my soul. And next thing is, oh my God, I'm driving 70 miles an hour down the road. Where have I been for the last 40 miles? In the house of the Lord at Bethel with a manifestation of the presence of Jesus. He'll take care of your car. He knows how to drive. He puts His angels on the wheel. When you're at Bethel, angels descend and ascend. You need them. You say, oh, no, you can't pray. You know, you got to keep your eye on the road. Well, do it. You'd probably have an accident. Pray. Get lost in the Spirit. Put a tape on of a service with a lot of anointing. Next thing you know, your arms are all both up in the air praising Jesus. All I am saying truthfully to you is that God's call to us is to come up higher. God's call to us is to live in the world of Spirit. And the Lord wants us to live in that world. He wants us to live in that place where He is real, where He talks to us, where His presence can be felt. And He said, come up higher. Come up higher. And so this was the call to Jacob. Don't stay down there. And it's just a thought away. Do you know the spirit world, that barrier is so thin. He was saying sometimes you can come right into the presence of the angels, just so close. He said that the day it comes to die, that curtain will be so thin, I'll just be from one world 1 second and I'll be in the other world another second. And that's how he died. 1 second he was talking to somebody, the next second he was gone. Just that fast. He just stepped right on through the curtain one more time. And that's how it is with all of us. God's Bethel is not 200 miles away where you have to go crawling on your knees like the Catholics do to their Mecca to meet with God. Listen, I want to tell you that it's not more than 20 millimeters away. Put in English, an eighth of an inch away or a quarter of an inch away. It's right there. The curtain between you being out of God and you being in God is just that close. When God says, come up higher, it's not a long journey. Sometimes it's just turning your heart and mind toward God and you're there. How many times you have just flopped down on a seat, opened your Bible, and God's already talking to you. It didn't take Him very long. He was right there waiting for you to get to that chair. That's happened to me so many times. Sometimes just His audible voice. Glad that I took a minute to be with Him. God wants us to live in the spirit world. And coming up means coming up into the spirit world that's ever so close to us, ever so near to us, ever so part of God Himself in us. Amen. Here we see Jacob following on toward the commands of the Lord. He had learned to arise, and we've learned to see all these things about arising and going up now. And Sunday we mentioned about faith, hope, love, peace, joy, righteousness, the life of praise and worship and thankfulness. And then we talked a little bit today about open heavens and what that means. And I'd like to make another point, but it says, dwell there. The commandment of the Lord to Jacob and to all who come from Jacob, all the family of God, the call of God is for us to dwell there, not just visit. We too often just visit there. God wants us to dwell there. He wants us to stay there. He wants us to learn how to stay in the world of the Spirit, how to stay in the world of His presence. We can be there when we're working. We can be there when we're studying. We can be there when we're driving down the road. We can be there when we're working on a computer. Your spirit can be with God. How many times I've been working on a computer, you say, we can't do two things at once. Normally I can't. Even when you think that you can't, you can be in the world of the Spirit and still do your work. Because your heart's gone. Sometimes I'll be working on something and I feel something tugging at me. It's calling to me. Just like you do in a service. When the Holy Spirit's here, you feel something drawing drawing, and all you got to do is just yield to it. And when you yield to the Holy Spirit, you just come right on through that barrier. You come right on through into the world of the Spirit. That's what it means to come up. Bethel is the world of the open Spirit. It's the world of open heavens. It's the world of God. And it's ever so close to us. And God wants us to learn to dwell there. It means that more and more, we spend more time there than we do down here. And each time you respond to that drawing of the Spirit, and instead of resisting it, you just open up to it and spend a few moments with God, that will come more often and more often and more often and more often. And keep drawing you until one day you learn how to dwell in the presence of the Lord. There are people that have written books on dwelling in the presence of the Lord. And you see, it is possible to dwell there. Most of us don't. Most of us just visit there. However, the desire of God for us is the same for Jacob. And what did God say to Jacob? I want you to arise. I want you to go up. I want you to go to a place where there's open heavens in your personal life and in your church or wherever. And he said, I want you to learn how to dwell there. I want you to stay there. I don't just want you to come in and out. I want you to learn how to come in and never more go back. And I'd like to give you the example of Enoch. It said that Enoch walked with God. He learned how to just walk through that veil over and over and over until one day he decided that he was just going to do what God said to Jacob. He was just going to dwell there. And it says that one day he just went out with a walk to walk and talk with Jesus like he did every other day of his life. And then nobody ever saw him anymore. He just walked right through the veil and dwelt there for the rest of his eternity. He just walked right into heaven and stayed there. And it said Enoch was translated into heaven. He walked with God. Walking with God means he had learned how to go up and live in that up place. And the Lord just finally said, you know what? We're so used to living together. Why should I come down there? Why don't you just come up here and we'll just stay together, both of us? Because they were both in love with each other. The heart of God and the heart of that man drew closer and closer together until they couldn't be apart, until they had to be together. One had such a yearning after God, such a call after God. And I don't really want to go there tonight, but that's when God gets a hold of your heart and makes it His and wants it to be His and puts such a longing fire burning in your heart that you can't just live without Him. And one day He just has to take you out of this world because there's such a divine union between you and Him. And most of us live so far below our privileges. We live so far below that place of fellowship, so far below that place of dwelling in open heavens. God wants to be experienced by His children. God doesn't just want to be in heaven and have us pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Someday we'll go up and we'll spend our time with You. God doesn't want that. God wants to spend His time with us now. If God could have it His way, He'd soak you up inside of Himself and you'd just disappear off the face of the earth, because why should you be separated from Him? Why should you be down here any longer all by yourself fighting devils and fighting diseases and fighting things? Why don't you just get lost in God and never come back again? That's God's hope for us. That's His desire for us. You see, we came out from God. Our spirit came from God. And He wants it to come back to Him. He's missing a part of Himself in you. And the more we learn to live without God, the more we learn to live independently from God, the more we learn to just have our own life and live it too, we leave God out of it, but we forget that what we've got, the very thing we call us, is God. He gave it. We can't be independent from Him. And someday that's got to go back to God. That's why it said that the candle of the Lord is lit by God, and that the Spirit of the Lord returns to the God who gave it. God is missing a part of Himself and wants it. It's just like people have been married for many years and their husband dies or their wife dies. They're missing a part of themselves. A part of themselves is missing. They've learned to become so much one that when one is gone, they miss them. There's such a thing as nostalgia. If you get to where your home and your land is so part of you, if you let it become such a part of you, if you ever have to go as a missionary or whatever, for whatever reason, and live in another city, another town, another state, another country, you're going to miss home, because there's something about home that's in you that you've got to go back to. That's God. He yearns after us because there's a part of us that's Him, disconnected from Him. And He yearns and longs for that to come back. So He draws us by His Spirit. He calls us by His Spirit. He wants us to come to Him. He forever calls us, come back up, return to Me, come to Bethel. Come up into my world. Dwell there. Come back to me. And if you learn to dwell there, I'm just going to snuff you up. We just won't ever come back here. We'll just stay there. We'll become one again. What came out from me will come back to me. And we'll all be one happy bunch. And you can be where I can radiate my love in you and where I can feel my love from you back into me. Sometimes God lavishes and pours out his love to us and he never gets it back again. It's just like, thank you for blessing me. Hey, you know what? There's something about loving somebody and receiving that love back. It's something eternal. It's something precious. It's something God-like. It's something that God wants for you. When things take over our own heart, whether substances on earth or people on earth or things on earth, God misses us because we've gone out a-whoring after other things. We've gone out and our interest and heart is on other things. And God calls us like Jacob. When Jacob got hung up in Shechem, God called him. And that's the call of the Spirit that's over us. God is calling us. God's calling us back to himself. He is holy. He is beautiful. He is wonderful. And God calls us back to himself. Say, well, how can we oscillate so much between Sundays and Wednesdays? You know, we get thrown on the fire and out of the frying pan on Sunday, and then you get landed on this nice cushion of cotton love on Wednesday. Well, I'll tell you what, God's fire for holiness is the same fire of love. God yearns for us. God's not trying to burn you away from him. God's trying to burn away from us everything that takes you away from him. God's trying to burn away from us everything that separates us from him. That's why he said, come and dwell. God wants us dwelling where open heavens are. God wants us dwelling where his Spirit moves. Imagine for just a minute as we close here what God has to put up with when he goes into churches where they sing to him out of a book and don't mean a thing they're saying. Then they preach just to be seen by people to make sure that when you go out the back door, your hand gets shook and you say, hey, you know what? That was a tremendous message. I feel I'm successful when, like Sunday, everybody just leaves here and no one even wants to see me anymore. I know then that we've heard from God, okay? We've got it so wrong. We've made it so man-like. We've got it all so under control. We've got everything. But God's not in that. He's far away from that. God's in the world of the Spirit. He's the world of life. He's in the world of where he's in control, where God burns out stuff in you that takes you away from him. And he demands that you live closer to him, that you come up higher, that you get up out of your lethargies and come back to him and return back to him and give him what's his already, your spirit, and yield it to him and walk with him and walk for him and serve him. Some people say, you know what, you give too much money to the church. No, you really don't. You should give all of it to the church. The one who said that all the money was his, wouldn't you rather give it back to who it belongs to? Because if you give it to anybody else, you're stealing it. If all the money in the world was mine and you used it and you did everything but give it to me, I would think that you were stealing it. Come on now, put yourself in the place of God. He says, I own all the money that's in the world, all the gold, all the silver, everything, every cow, every weed that comes up in every pasture. I own everything. If you build buildings, I put the cement there. It's my cement. God says, I'll tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. If you only give me 10% of it, I won't call you a thief and a robber. But if you take that much from me, I'll call you an open robber. But still, with the other 90%, where do you think would be the best place to invest it? When the bank loans you money for your house, like Bank America, would it make them too happy if you paid Wachovia every month your monthly payment? Or do you pay it to the person that gave it? Why then, when it comes to church, it's like, hey, you know what? They asked for too much. I want to replace money for our life. How much more our life belongs to him? He said, I looked through it when you were being formed in the womb of your mother. I formed it. I made sure I was the one that decided you were going to live and not die as stillborn. I decided where you were going to be born, what day you were going to be born, and when you were going to die. I decided all of that. You belong to me. You're mine, saith the Lord. And he wrote that in granite. And he said, you belong to me and everything that you have belongs to me. So when it comes to giving our life to the Lord, we feel like we're doing him a great favor because we gave our life to the Lord. You didn't give him nothing that didn't belong to him. And you know, there's people who come up to you and say, you know what? You're spending way too much time with the Lord in that church. Maybe they should have a reality check with their own life. Because all we're doing is giving just a little bit more of what we should give, all of it back to the person that owns it. Because when you're giving it to yourself, you're a fraud. When you give it to your neighbor, they didn't give you their life. They don't own it. When you give all that time to your boss just for a miserable $9 more an hour, it's the wrong person. He didn't give you your life. He doesn't give you your health. You know what he's doing? He's wasting it. If they could, they'd waste all your energy. They'd waste your strength. And then when you get sick, they say, sorry, you know, when you get too old, we don't have need for this. We're going to replace you with a new model. And you go down the road. That's who you spent all the energies of your life for. But yet, when you spend a few too many hours to help the church with something or God or any one of his work, we feel like that's a fraud. Honey, we got it all turned around. God said, come up higher. God wants to renew our mind and our thinking because the world messes with it. God says, you need to think different. You need to think like I think. I own you. I own everything about you. Come up higher. Live with me. Return to me. Come back to me because someday the whole of you is coming back to me. It's coming back to Daddy. It's coming back to the one that made you. And so Jacob is the house of the Lord here on earth. It's us. And God says to Jacob, arise. Go up and dwell at Bethel. Now, how would you like it if your family members that weren't converted at home heard that from now on you plan to just live at the church, let alone just go there every once in a while? God said, dwell there. If you never knew your homebodies had demons in them, they'd manifest right then. They'd become really manifested right there. Do you see how far we are from God's call? God's call is for us to come up higher and dwell there. It's a tall order, but it's possible. Little by little, to yield to the Spirit and give more and more of yourself. We're not talking about church here. We're talking about God. You can give yourself to God at home, too.